Marco?
Oh, no. I don't think you... There we go. Hello, Hansanel.
Hope everybody had a wonderful day.
Did. Thank you. I hope you did too.
I did. We're in chapter 12 of Zohar on Noah. We're starting with verse 81. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha b'richu ishkinte b'ichilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vazhe. B'yichidat shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadonai Elohino aleinu ma'asei adenu kananei aleinu ma'asei adenu kananeihu. Le'ite ma hai tezuta, itchazei begoi, hai alma umchabila, azil begav avya. Kozina dila itchazei, apei debarnash kamei bechabila. La yakil shaltaha, Ale menalam mimitraim diti viatem lo tetsu ish mi petah beito ad boker my tama begin de iu ishtakah viakil hu leha bila. Velo itzterich leitchaza'a tameya begin kach avagam iz noach v'koli nun deimeya v'tevuta umchadla la yakil l'shalta'a alayhu. And you may wonder how the ark survived, even though it was seen in the world through which the angel of destruction walked. But as long as the face of the person is not seen by the angel of destruction, he cannot rule over him. And how do we know this? From Egypt. Because the verse reads, as none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. The reason is that the angel of destruction was present outside and could destroy anyone, and none should be seen before him. This is why Noah and all those who joined him hid within the ark. There the angel of destruction had no power over them. Questions, comments, thoughts?
It seems clear.
What is the significance of the face?
Significance of what?
The face.
Can you see God face to face?
No, sir.
Can you see his back?
Yes, sir.
Does that make a difference in helping you to understand that?
Mm-hmm. Because it says if you see his face, you will die or should not, strong word, survive.
You cannot see God's face while you're in a physical body. Once you leave the physical world, if you've completely cleansed, you're able to converse with Hashem face to face. But most people are not at that level, even after they leave they come out of Gehinnom.
So basically, when the angel of death is around, and he does not see your face, you're basically not in that world. You are in a higher level. And he's coming to
Not necessarily. What it's saying is there needs to be something interfering, something physical interfering between you and the angel of death in order for the angel of death to have no power over you. There needs to be something physical, or if not physical, some kind of barrier that keeps you separated, where the angel of death cannot see you. So in the case of the Pesach, the night of the Pesach, of the night of the redemption, the people were in their homes behind the doors. There was something interfering. The angel of death had no permission to enter their houses, so he could never see them as long as they were inside. Had one of them walked out, he would have been destroyed along with the firstborn.
And many of the Hebrews did, we remember, you know.
You broke up. I didn't hear.
I said many of the Hebrews did die because they didn't go within.
But not at that time. They died in the angel of dark, in the plague of darkness. The angel of death, the destroyer is in the term in the Bible. The destroyer was active on the night of the killing of the firstborn.
Which was the last plague, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the last plague. Now, in the flood, was a manifestation of the destroyer, of the angel of death. But he had no permission to go into the ark. And so even though the ark could be seen by him, and he knew that there were people in it, he had permission to penetrate the ark. Now, as you said, the verse is clear. But now I'm going to ask you a question. In our generation, the Zohar is our ark.
Mm-hmm.
Can't the angel of death see through the Zohar? What's going to separate us from the angel of death?
Hashem's mercy.
The light.
Go ahead, Martha.
I think it's the light.
Correct.
Mercy
the
is
organese, that his organese, the can see.
The light of the Zohar. The light of the Zohar cannot be penetrated by the angel of death. It's too strong.
Right.
But down above that level, isn't it the mercy of Hashem? That's the light of the Zohar.
Actually, it's the light of the Zohar is very much higher than the light of mercy. Think of it in terms of the Tree of Life and the Sephirot. one of the ways the Zohar is described is that it is the soul of the Torah.
Right. And the soul of the Torah is
higher than Chesed, is it not? The soul of the Torah would be within the frame of Dat. And might actually be, more than likely, is the level of Chachma.
I would have thought a Rikon Pin.
Well, the Torah is Zeron Pin, but what is the internal aspect of Zeron Pin?
No, I didn't say zero on pen. I said a week on pen.
No, the Torah that we have in this world is not Arik HaPen. The light of the soul of the Torah.
Because you misunderstood. That's okay.
Yeah. The soul of the Torah might very well be Arik HaPen rather than Hakman. I'm not on a level to be able to differentiate between the two.
Well, to me, it's higher than Keter, in a way.
No, actually, Arikampin is Keter. Arikampin is Keter. Keter has three components.
Okay.
Should I go on to verse 82?
Yes,
Rabbi Chia Rabbi Yosei Hawo Azle Biarcha Iara Behane Ture Picardo Hamo Rashimin Bekin Biarcha Behago Min yomei d'tochana el Rabbi Chiyayo l'Rabbi Yosei hanei b'kiin d'hawo miyomo d'tochana d'kutsha b'riku shavik slom l'dare darin begin Tilayit mahe, chovechom derashiaya, kameya. Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yossi were on their way when they came upon the mountains of Ararat, where they observed some deep ravines which had been left from the days of the great flood. Rabbi Chia told Rabbi Yossi, "These ravines are from the days of the great flood, and the Holy One, blessed be He, has left them to stay on throughout all the generations to come, so that the sins of the wicked would not be erased before Him." Questions, comments, thoughts?
It reminds me of General Eisenhower, when they came into the camps and caused the people in the city to come into the camps and see the evidence of what the Nazis had done. Because he said, one day there'll be somebody who will try to say it never happened. In the Holocaust, you know, that's what this verse reminds me of.
Yes.
Like leaving evidence that it truly happened.
But who is this evidence for? The verse implies that the evidence is for God.
The evidence is what?
God means, well, he left these ravines to remind God, to remind himself, that there was all these sins from the flood. Does that make sense to you?
Sure. But still,
well, isn't it for us?
This made me think of Eisenhower.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said it's just that the lines in the verse made me think of Eisenhower's comments.
No, I understand your comment about Eisenhower, but the reality is all those people who walked through the camps, they didn't make it. It didn't really change them, did it?
That I wouldn't know.
Well,
I would think it surely had an effect. I know if I had been paraded in the field, I think it would have really upset me, you know, to actually see it.
Hannah, if you do research, as a lot of research has gone into the Shoah, because it's so difficult for people to understand how it could have happened. And all of the majority of the people, if not all of the people in the towns that surrounded the camps that were downwind from the odor of the bodies burning, that we say they had to know. You know, 70 years later, we just say that they must have known. How could they not know? But they maintain they didn't know. Are they lying? The answer is no. Because people see what they want to see. Out of sight, out of mind. And that's really what the spiritual principle that's being expressed here. One needs to see. But one needs to be open to see first.
I have one question. Where were they journeying to? I mean, what territory are we talking about?
Well, the Mount Ararat is in Turkey.
Okay.
It doesn't say where they were going from or where they were going to, but it's saying mm-hmm. they came upon the mountains of Ararat.
Okay.
But are we really talking about the mountains, the physical mountains of Ararat, or are we talking about a spiritual journey? Whenever you see this kind of language, that these rabbis were on their way, or they went on a walk, or you know, all these, or they were studying together. In the Zohar, you never know if it's a physical action or if it's a spiritual action. I'm looking for how to spell the Ararat. The Araha. And I'm not. My Hebrew isn't strong enough
after the first comma. Look after the first comma. Aleph Yud Resh Ayin. Would that be it?
Thank you. Yes. Iara. Yes. The gematria is 341. If you put a Solel for each letter, it becomes 345, which is the same as the name of Moshe. So it's a code word for Moshe.
Ah. So they were studying the books of they were studying the Torah.
Yes. It's saying that they were on a spiritual journey, a dream journey, a meditative journey together, and they solicited information from Moshe, and Moshe was just, these deep ravines are related to the teachings of Moses at that time. Because Moses is, you know, he's just as King Solomon was a wise man, the wisest ever. But his wisdom also connected to the negative system. Wisdom includes, it's the same system. Positive actions and negative actions utilize the same laws of the spiritual world. You see how much more we really need to learn and delve into that we never have time to do. Baruch Hashem. Verse 83. Dekach archo dekut shabarichu lezakain diavdin reutea ba'e diyikirun leholeela v'tata v'layit nashe dukranechon v'dare darin letav kegavna dalerasi ayayo dilavdin reuteya v'gindilayit nashe chovayhu ulad kara Amshaihu v'dach ranechon Levish l'dare darin Hainu diktiv Niktom adonech V'fane v'gomer. Because it is the way of the Holy One, blessed be He. He desires that the righteous who fulfill His will be remembered above as well as below. He desires that their memories not be forgotten through the generations. Likewise, he also desires that the wicked who do not fulfill his will be remembered. He desires that their sins never be forgotten, and their punishments and their wicked ways always remembered. As it is written, "The stain of your iniquity is before me." Questions, comments, thoughts.
Could this be that it means that, with repentance, your sins can be wiped off or no longer, with the mercy of Hashem, He will wipe out the sins of one if you repent. Could this be that saying that there was no repentance there? So it is a a sign, I won't say sign, sign's not a good word, a lesson for those that don't, then your sins are always going to be displayed. I don't know if I said that right, I was kind of tongue-tied there.
You did say it right. You're saying that sins that are not repentant, unrepentant sins are always remembered.
Right.
It's describing two spiritual laws. One spiritual law is there is no disappearance in spirituality. So everything is always there. Negative actions are still there. So then how does repentance actually work? If there's no disappearance, how does being repentant for doing a wrong action cause that action to become whole and to become positive? It's describing consciousness. After you repent, and because you understand and have been taught that the action of repentance, of teshuva, transforms the negative action into a positive action. That is your consciousness. So that is what you expect to see, and that is what you do see. And if you are unrepentant, there's no, the negative action is still there, unchanged. But in the harsh reality, the strong reality, negative actions or positive actions, all actions are there, unchanged. It's only our perception of them that changes. Oh, I did repentance. I did teshuvah. Therefore, it's no longer negative. And you have the certainty that that is true. And therefore, the action is still the same. But the effect of that action is different. Two different spiritual laws and how they work together. Because there's no disappearance in spirituality, it has to be that the person, the perceiver, has to change the perception. It's amazing. This is the system Hashem has created. It's all about perception. It's all about recognizing where you have been limited by your environment. First, your parents teaching you what they taught you, then the society that you live in. And now, even looking at a verse in the Zohar, what do you see? How you perceive it, that is the truth for you at that moment. It is a beautiful system. So everybody's speechless, right?
I'm going to go mute for a bit, just for a little off.
Well, we're basically through for tonight. Our time is up, and our next class will be at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class for a Zohar on Bereshit. So hopefully we'll see you then.
Okay, thank you.
Chana, how is your son?
He came home today. And the youngest one went in today, so I haven't had any news yet on that one.
Okay. But have they done any tests on his heart now that he's had the stents and the bypass?
I didn't understand what you said.
Well, I'm really asking...
Which one? The one going in or the one coming out? The one going in didn't tell us because he had arm pains yesterday. But he didn't have anything all night. He evidently went to the hospital and he had anything all night. He didn't have anything this morning. But when Tony went to check on Tim, because they hadn't dismissed him as of yet, he said he didn't know if they were going to send him home or if they were going to do some tests. And my granddaughter, his daughter, just called. I put myself on mute, but I told her I'd call her right back. Because I get calls almost every time we get on. And so I thought this time I would wait and call them after the class. So I'm sure she's calling to say whether or not he went home or if he's going to have some tests. So,
And that's really what I was asking about, was because after a cardiac event, the question is, was there damage to the heart?
No.
Or was...
But the oldest one, that's 58, that had the quadruple bypass, he had never had a heart attack. And the doctor told him that, you know, his heart was good and strong, and, you know, but he was watching his weight because he's a big person, and he tries to keep his weight down. And, you know, so he was really on the road, but gosh, the last 10 years of eating healthier and taking care of himself. So it was a shock to us. But when I was in the, what upset me was that, you know, normally I'm in a waiting room by myself. I don't have the kids come. I just, if it's Tony or one of them, I'd rather stay by myself because they're all working and they have their lives. And there's not many of us anyway. But I couldn't scan the Zohar. I couldn't do anything because his best friend, he called his best friend before he went into surgery. Well, his best friend put it on Facebook. So the ICU ward was just filled with his friends, customers, you know, and of course I could tell he was very well liked and played music with even the doctor that recommended that he go for a stress test. And they just told me wonderful stories, but one, and so I'm here. Oh, but I need to be saying my psalms, and I need to be getting the Zohar. I need to be saying the Anabakok. You know, that was running through my mind. And so I just said, Torah, speak to me. And that's when I heard, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And then the next thing I heard was, be still and know that I'm God. So I thought, oh, okay, you're in control. So I'm going to visit with his friends and his customers who I don't know. And they were all telling me these wonderful, wonderful stories. But the one that impressed me the most was he said that a customer had come in, and the person that was telling me this owns a pest control company, and he works in several cities from Monday to Friday, but on Saturday he works at the music store. And he said he saw Tim, a man came in to sell his instrument, and it was an expensive instrument, but he was out of work, and he needed the money to feed his family. And my son gave him one of his bass guitars that was worth $300, and I thought it was interesting that he actually told me that. You know, he didn't say, well, it wasn't as expensive as his, but he used the number 300. And that he said, I know that you need the money to feed your family, but I'm going to give you this guitar of mine so that you can still play your music at home. And the man started crying. And the one who was telling me the story, you know, was putting his fingers to his eyes to show me that. And he said, so I'm so glad to have met Tim's parents because it shows me the fabric that Tim is made of, and that just, you know, so I knew everything was in control, so I didn't worry. And
it's a beautiful,
they would come and go, and come and go, and that went on till 10 o'clock until we could actually go into ICU and see him, you know. And the doctor has said that, you know, he's still young, he's young, and he's very strong, and he was very healthy. He wasn't on any medications. He had never been to the hospital except when he was 6 years old and had his tonsils removed. So everything is looking good. And today, when, you know, he wants me to come and help him plan some meals, and he said he had really intended to, you know, to, because he works all the time, and then they play music to make extra money. And anyway, I have a worry, so it's another shock to see that the other one is going in. He's the youngest one, so we shall see what we, you know. And after going through the holidays, just feel like, well, what can you do? Hashem is in control. And, you know.
May they both have a rippo shlema. The first one continue to get strong and healthier, and the second one to not have any problems and just sail through the process.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.